And now time for our techno bite, I don't even call it the techno spot with editor at large from My Broadband, Jan Vermeulen. Jan, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Interesting. Telkom and Cell C will not survive unless they merge. That sounds very disturbing.
Yeah, it's an interesting take from an analyst there who was basically just explaining the state of the industry at the moment, that, you know, the telecommunications industry is not the huge money spinner it once was. And while Vodacom and MTN have the scale to continue to survive and grow, the likes of Telkom and Cell C are going to struggle. And so they explain that, you know, voice minutes where the most of the money is, that revenue is going away. People are spending less and less, on voice and more on data. And there's tremendous pressure on the operators to drop their data prices. So it's not just consumers that are demanding it, but government as well. And political parties are climbing in and saying, you know what, these prices need to come down.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting to be in the telco space at the moment and see where that is going to go. Interesting combination of Tel C could be a very interesting company to get your data from. Now, yeah,
well, this is where things get interesting. Sorry to interrupt you.
No problem.
Just quickly, the issue there is, unfortunately, these companies have kind of shot themselves in the foot there, because previously when mergers and deals and all kinds of stuff were under discussion, the likes of Cell C opposed them vehemently. So, for example, opposed a possible radio network sharing deal between MTN and Telkom, opposing the deal between Vodacom and Neotel. And so there's all this precedent with the competition authorities to go, no, we can't allow two telcos to merge because it's going to negatively impact competition. The question is if somebody would oppose a merger between Telkom and Cell C, of course. I don't know if anybody would really oppose that, at least not a larger operator. And secondly, if the two smaller operators merging would really give them the scale they need to take on one of the big giants. It's one thing if a smaller guy gets to merge with a bigger guy, but two small guys merging, doesn't necessarily the next Vodacom make.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting to see where that goes. Now, you've got something here, Jan. I can't take this seriously. You know, in the IDF, they recently actually just got rid of fax machines entirely. This is after somebody pointed out that Hezbollah doesn't even use them anymore. But you're saying they're actually a massive security problem. How can something that no one uses be a security problem?
Because it turns out that plenty of people still use it. this is the issue. It's used in the legal community. It's used in the healthcare community. Fax machines are still widely used all over the show. I mean, we are slowly getting rid of them. But you also might have a fax machine that's kind of a holdover from when you did use faxes in your business a couple of, you know, let's call it 5 years ago. Hopefully it's more like 10 years ago, but maybe you're unlucky and it's more like 5 years ago. And so it's still connected to a phone line at your office. And then that same device is probably a printer that's connected to your network. And this is where the problem comes in. And so where these security researchers were inspired by it, because they're like, hang on a second, this is an ancient technology that no one is paying any attention to, but we're connecting them to our networks. So maybe there's an issue here. And lo and behold, they found a problem. They discovered a security vulnerability in particular HP Office Jets printers, but not to single out HP. That's just where they started looking. And they discovered that you could craft a special malicious fax that you then send to a machine. You can take over the machine, and that gives you then a foothold in the network. And from there, you have to exploit further vulnerabilities to actually do something malicious on the network. So they were showing that they were using a bug in Windows called Eternal Blue, which should be patched if you've kept your Windows up to date, but plenty of people don't. Using the combination of the two vulnerabilities, they were able to get into the network, and they could have done any kind of thing once they're in the network like that. They even had a proof of concept attack that used this. So yes, if you're still using a fax machine, make sure that you install security updates for it.
Yeah, and can't don't
believe it. I never thought I'd ever say that.
Don't click on suspicious faxes. I can't tell you how many times we have to warn people not to click on suspicious faxes.
Well, this is the thing, right? And why they looked at faxes was like, there is no way to stop someone from accepting a fax. There's no pre-screening on faxes. If that number is on the internet somewhere, then someone can send a fax to that number. There's no way to block it. There's no security check, no authentication, no verification. So it's just a gold mine for an attacker. If they want a way in, here's a way in that you can't firewall at all. So now what?
Absolutely fascinating. All right, Jan, the most important story of the week, as usual, we have to know, what is the top 10 most pirated movies of the week?
So the top 10 this week, some big changes again. Deadpool, the top spot, of this week's, top 10, followed by Avengers Infinity War, Skyscraper coming in at third place, and pushing down Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom and Rampage. Then at number 6, we've got Overboard. Number 7, Escape Plan 2 Hades. Number 8, Sanju. Number 9, The Meg, and number 10, Razi.
Super interesting. Okay, I can see where the taste of people are going. Jan, very, very quickly, actually, just because I've just seen this now, and I do think it's actually important for people to hear about. So could you maybe just quickly give us a rundown? This Belarus shame scan that's hitting South Africa. What is it, and how do people avoid it? Because I do think we actually want to touch on that, because these things come through the system.
Yes. It is an important story to touch on, and the only way to fight this particular scam is through awareness. So, in short, how the scam works is it's a con where the person sends you an email, and they say, "Hey, listen, I've hacked your computer, or I've hacked a website that you frequent that's maybe not so above board." And I captured video of you in a compromising position. And if you do not pay me a certain sum of money in Bitcoin, within the next day, I'm going to send this compromising video to all your friends and family. Oh, by the way, I using the same hack, I also got your whole contacts list from Facebook, WhatsApp, everywhere. I've got your whole contacts list, and I will send everybody this really compromising video of you. And so people, rather than face embarrassment, pay the money, even though this person, this attacker, this con artist has nothing. They literally have nothing. They are duping people into believing that they've got them in this compromising position, when in fact they've got no such thing, and you can actually safely ignore that message.
Well, there we go. That's good to know. I mean, Jan, is it possible to know if it is a dodgy person who really does have it? Because I mean, these information scans have had before. You know, people have actually had things where they can release or have your data. So how do you actually know if someone's bluffing or not?
Yeah, it's a tricky thing. And so I think the phrasing of this particular email gives it away. They're like, "Yeah, I hacked this website and then got, from this website, I got remote access to your webcam." And if there's a vulnerability that can do that, I don't know of it. But, if you've got compromising video of yourself on your phone that's stored in the cloud somewhere, that's a way for them to get at it, and that's how the famous hacks happened a couple of years ago, where folks got into iCloud and stole photos of actors and actresses, and mainly released the photos of the actresses in the nude. That's a potential way for folks to get in, and if the email has more a a tone like that, and you know that you've got photos like that on your phone, then maybe you can start getting worried. But it's difficult to know without usually with these guys to convince you that they have something, they'll send you like a taster to go, this is what I have, and if you don't pay up, I'm going to release the whole thing. So people who are serious will send you some kind of proof that they have it. If they're not serious, then they won't send through the proof.
Well, there you go. Jan Vermeulen, thank you so much. If you receive an email from me saying I've sent you a dodgy fax, you should know that you need to pay up in Bitcoin. And we'll chat to you next week.